Welcome to the Kitman Labs Game Changer Podcast. I'm Stephen Smith, CEO of Kitman Labs, and I'm thrilled to kick off Season 5 with what I anticipate to be a thought-provoking chat with my guest, Kenny Boyd, Executive Senior Associate Athletics Director of Student Athlete Services at Baylor University. Welcome to the Game Changer, Kenny.
Thanks, Stephen. Yeah, that's my title is a little bit of a mouthful, huh? Yeah. I just tell people I get to be in more meetings.
Well, it sounds great. I really appreciate you being here today. And I'm particularly excited about this because I think we are at an unprecedented time of change in collegiate athletics. I think there's a number of different things happening right now. The compounding effects of NIL on institutions and their players, the competition that's being created by the transfer portal, massive amount of realignment across different conferences, rising number of mental health issues, and then the new requirements from NCAA Transformation Committee for elevated and more holistic player care. I mean, your head must be spinning after everything that's happened over the last kind of 12, 18 months in your area of the industry.
Yeah, that's just page one. Yeah, we've got there's certainly a lot of things happening, and some would say monumental changes. I think every generation experiences some version of this, but this seems more significant for whatever reason. It's all about your mindset, right? And I think part of this is, you know, where's the opportunity? There's the quote, you know, in the difficulty lies the opportunity. And I think we have great opportunity to further advance how we provide care for our student athletes and really how we work as professionals in this industry.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how we've been thinking about some of these changes as well. I think it means that, number one, it's never been more critical to, I think, continue to transform and modernize student athlete health and care. But also, I think this presents an enormous opportunity with everything that's happening right now to create a more integrated approach to performance and health than we've ever had before. And I think there's a lot more driving factors and reasons to get everybody moving in that direction across like a high performance environment.
Yeah. What I think is exciting about this time is I feel like there's an opportunity at every one of our institutions to find where we are going to have a place in this change and how we can be a part of that. What's going to happen at Baylor University is going to be different than happens at Iowa State. And I use that as a school within our conference, that even though we're in the same conference, we're going to have a different approach to this. You know, whether the NCAA allows us to have more opportunities permissible, more financial opportunities permissible. At the end of the day, the good news is, like, you know, let's turn to the back of the book. The way the story ends, we still need people to care for our student athletes. And so everybody that I work with and my staff, we still need them to operate at a high level, high efficiency, and continue to provide solutions to problems that we see.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the approach that's taken, the collaboration that's needed amongst, you know, everybody that's involved within the high performance sphere right now is phenomenally important and becoming more and more important because of some of the changes that we've talked about. So I know we're here today to talk about some of these micro trends, to also gain some insights on how Baylor is tracking these kind of modern challenges, how you're integrating them into your overall program organizationally and, you know, from a technology infrastructure perspective. But let's take a step back a little bit and kind of start with you and your role. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you came to Baylor to do, how that's evolved into your new role that was announced last year, and how all of this aligns to Baylor's vision for the student athlete experience?
Yeah, it's a winding path, certainly for me, to get to Waco. I feel very blessed to be here, in a way, feel called to be here, thankful for Mac Rhodes and President Livingstone's for this opportunity. But yeah, I started the first 20 years of my career in the trenches in athletic medicine, 14 of those years as a head football athletic trainer. And so, you know, there was unique challenges that I started to see early on in kind of more that specific model of football, management and what we were doing to provide this complex delivery system, but certainly learned from a lot of people along the way. You know, I had stops at Northwestern, at Mississippi State, University of Colorado, and still have some great friends in those locations. You know, started at the University of Florida. It's kind of tough for me to see that Alabama jersey behind your shoulder there, but, you know, we'll just move on. But, you know, I had, like many people do in this industry, people to pour into me, mentors, that I think it's that's still that lesson is there to lean in on people that have experience, but like Chris Patrick, Steve Willard, Mary McClendon, you know, Alan Harden, Tina Bonsi, who's passed away, but has certainly left a legacy at the University of Texas, you know, then working together with other people like Keith Meister and Kerry Windler and Jeff Madden, strength conditioning coach. I mean, those are people that helped to shape who I am today and now get to this place where I'm at Baylor 2017 with the ability to now lead our student athlete health and wellness services and what we're providing. You know, Mac presented to me this challenge and charge to find a way to bring us together, you know, find some synergy in what we're doing to create a holistic model before this even became a thing.
You know, I think it's amazing to think about how much everything has probably changed from, you know, your very beginning in terms of, you know, being working in athletic medicine, working with teams, you know, being in the training room, taping ankles, you know, treating injuries, rehabilitating athletes, all the way through to the position that you're in now. And I'm sure that both the changes in terms of the core area and focus and responsibilities has shifted hugely from being a practitioner to being a leader. But I'm also sure that over that span of time from, you know, 15, 20 years within the industry, the needs and demands on both leaders within this industry and practitioners within this industry has shifted hugely. And then when we think about the focus on NIL and the shift that that's creating in the market, essentially what we're seeing start to happen is that, you know, the concept of whatever we want to call it, but it primarily is pay for play, is actually starting to emerge within the industry. That means that, you know, I think the demands on, I think, practitioners, because if athletes are not available, if athletes are not developing, if they're not improving, we're essentially costing them money in their pockets today. It's not money in their pockets in the future like it used to be, where maybe they get the pro leagues. It's actually money that could be taken out of their pockets today because they're not available. That's got to create a huge shift in terms of the demands on sports medicine, on athletic medicine, on athletic performance. But similarly, I think the focus on mental health and the growth that we're seeing in that area of that becoming a real challenge within the collegiate space means that that's got to create a hugely complex different set of demands. How are you guys thinking about like that holistic student athlete care and what that means at Baylor and the programs that you're implementing?
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot to think about. I mean, you know, when you think of all the stressors that our student athletes are dealing with, the challenges, you know, in all the directions that it comes from, you know, I think NIL is just another component of that. You know, where I see great concern in how we manage our processes and resources for our athletes is, you know, this idea that student athletes have never been more transient than before. The transfer portal and the way that that's opened up mobility for our student athletes to move from school to school is really challenging some departments to think differently in how we provide that care. You know, the way that we define our health and wellness area at Baylor is our athletic medicine, athletics performance, applied performance, or that sports science piece, mental health services, and performance nutrition. So there's five buckets that lean into the health and well-being of our student athletes, but it really doesn't stop there. You know, there's this spiritual component that we certainly lean heavily into that's there, regardless of whether you're at a private Christian institution like Baylor or at a public school. You know, you have athletes that still are trying to find out where they are in their faith journey, and how that impacts their physical performance as well as their mental mindset from day to day. And then you throw in the academic piece, right? Like, oh yeah, by the way, how are you going to establish progress towards a degree? So in the higher education world, there's a lot of pushback between campus academics side of, you know, what are we doing for our athletes? How are we promoting them getting a degree, higher education degree, you know, with their movement so much? So I think there's a lot of questions, a lot of challenges there. But I think in general, the way that we approach this at Baylor is really trying to define, you know, what are those services, what are those resources? And it's no longer about whether it's a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior program. It's like, hey, you're going to be here for 1 or 2 years. What resources are we providing for you there? You know, you're a graduate transfer that comes into our program for a year. Like, we've got to accelerate this development process. Chris Roof, one of our athletics performance coaches, uses a quote that says, you know, it's a Native American quote. We did not inherit the land from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. And so it's this idea that, you know, when we get an athlete, what are we doing to prepare them for that next school that they transfer to? And when you think about some of the challenges from a performance standpoint, they may have a completely different philosophical approach to student athlete development, physical development, from school to school. Like, how do you prepare an athlete for that? So what foundationally are we challenged with to be able to make sure that whenever they go to their next institution, when they transfer, that we're setting them up for success, right? It's a student athlete we're trying to really target and how we're providing that resource.
No, I love that philosophy. It's almost like you have a duty of care to provide them with the elements and foundations that are needed that they can be plug and play wherever they go. That it's not just about this is what it means for you to be here for Baylor, but you're taking a broader view of that to say, what are the tools we're giving this human to be able to excel in whatever environment they walk into. I personally love the, like, having spent so long working in professional sport as well, and as a practitioner like you, the focus on the psychological aspect and that support. And I think the fact, something that you mentioned, I think maybe not everybody will like focus in on straight away, was the fact that you mentioned, okay, that could be a freshman, that could be a junior, that could be a senior, that could be a sophomore. I think, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, maybe we just need to focus and give those tools and abilities to that freshman as they walk in the door. But I think the different challenges that athletes are faced with, whether it is from a physical perspective, whether it is from a technical or tactical perspective, whether it is from an academic perspective, whether it is from a social and family perspective, we don't know when those challenges face somebody. We don't know how they're going to react and respond to it. And I think being able to provide a comprehensive and holistic set of services around an athlete, no matter where they are, and also to put them in that position to be able to excel on their next phase of the journey, I think it's a really mature outlook. And I think it's one of the reasons why we're so proud to be involved on the journey that you guys are trying to facilitate at Baylor as well. I think it's just there's a lot to be respected about what you guys are trying to do. So thank you for allowing us to be a part, a very, very, very small part of that, and to be with you guys on that journey. There's one other thing I wanted to come back to. You mentioned it in the very beginning of your last point. You talked about the transfer portal. And I know that that's something that has created a huge shift in the dynamic of this industry. And I know it's an area that lots of people are trying to react and respond to the changes that are made in that right now. But you guys are have been innovators in that and thinking about that for years, because, you know, nearly 2 years ago in our performance summit, you and Natalie Honan had a conversation about the transfer portal and the role of elevated student athlete care as a competitive advantage in recruitment and retention of student athletes. Since that time, I think we've seen the portal evolve, and you guys definitely knew, I think you saw what was coming, or maybe you had insider information, but it would be great to talk about that. Like, how do you think about those? A lot of people were concerned about the dynamic of the transfer portal. You guys seem to be leaning into it and saying, this is huge. This is an opportunity. This is an area for us to create competitive advantage. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, you know, I'll be careful to get this too far down the road and chase another rabbit. But I think the one thing that we didn't fully appreciate around retention and recruitment was that it also would impact our staff. And, you know, I think as somebody that helps to oversee this area, and I feel like I'm the resource to the resource, right? We see our resource coming and going more than we have in the past. A lot of movement within our industry with our staff. And so not only are we looking at trying to recruit and retain our student athletes, but we're trying to do that with our staff. And so so I think that's a side that I don't know that Natalie and I really got into, that now 2 years later, part of our challenge of delivering care is having consistent faces in the building to be able to support that philosophy. And if you don't, it's like embracing the idea that people are going to come and go. Is your system, are your programs set up in such a way that it's easy to onboard them? And if not, do you have people, you know, like our friends at Kitman Labs, to be able to come in and walk alongside that new employee to teach them how to use the system, how to take advantage of all those components, so that that learning curve is a lot shorter. You know, I think from the student athlete side, though, Stephen, the challenges are what we just talked about. Is, you know, what are you getting? What are you getting in the transfer? What do you have to reteach? Where are you from a development standpoint? And then you throw on this whole idea of time demands, right? The NCAA has put rightfully so, emphasis on how we use our student athletes' times, how we schedule their time. And so different from the pro model, well, and I think we've seen that some of the pro model as far as managing their time, but you know, they don't have just their sport to worry about. They also have, you know, organic chemistry and, you know, a business class or something else happening within their academic day on top of performance development. And so we have this narrow window of time to assess and implement and overall develop their physical foundation so that we can prepare them for their sport. And that window seems like it's shrinking every day. So that's a challenge.
Yeah, it's a topic of conversation I think that we've had with a lot of our clients, partners all over the globe. But it's not even just within the collegiate space. I think there is heavier focus on like the amount of time and the governance of the amount of time and exposure athletes have to practice, to games, to development, like holistically within elite environments today. And I think there's been a shift in mindset and a recognition of the fact that, like, you know, more is not always better. And I think that's resulted in a lot of people really coming back and questioning their programs to understand like what's actually making a difference, what is actually having an impact. If we have a finite amount of time with an athlete every week, what are the most important components that we fit into that, and how do we unselect the pieces that don't matter? And I think that's a really important question for elite organizations to ask themselves today, to figure out what actually matters, what elements of our program is actually working. And I think that, again, it's one of the reasons why I think being involved with you guys, that kind of mental model and thought process of coming back and questioning what matters and like where should we be focusing is a really, really important step. You mentioned there as well the NCAA and the fact that they're really starting to tighten up on that and regulate that. The NCAA are actually doing a lot of different things. And I think we've seen like the new requirements come from the NCAA Transformation Committee. It seems like you guys have been generally ahead of the curve there. But how are those kind of requirements shaping the evolution of your models of care and what you're actually the experience that you're delivering? Like what's the impact to you guys?
You know, I think what we're seeing, at least for the Power Four, right? The institutions that are kind of at the top when it comes to resources available to spend, you know, I feel like as a whole, a lot of the things that are coming out with the NCAA transformation are there. They're in place some way, shape, or form. Maybe little tweaks here and there about how we deliver mental health services, maybe some tweaks about what we do within nutritional services, how we communicate the medical care post-separation or graduation from the institution. So I think those things are there. I think what it's challenging us to do today is to be more efficient in how we're not just communicating, but how we're delivering those services in a way that makes the most sense for the football student athlete a soccer student athlete, acrobatics and tumbling, equestrian, across the board, they're coming in with different demands. They're leaving at different times. And so how do we maintain that consistency of care? Because, you know, let's face it, you know, we talk a lot about the challenges that are occurring right now with our athletes and mental health, and it's a real thing. And we have to really do our part to make sure that there's a network of services that are provided, and not just really focusing on the who, but the when, right? When are you starting to introduce those concepts to your athletes? You may want to start introducing that as they come in their recruiting trip, prospective student athlete engagement. So they see what tools they need to build resilience and coping skills and overall mindfulness. Not just when they're here on campus, but also when they leave and they go not only to another campus, but they enter the workforce. You know, some of the bigger challenges that we see with our student athletes is that transition of life, right? When they go from being an athlete to, you know, working in the workforce, there's a lot of mental health concerns that are happening for them. How can we provide that aftercare, almost that when they leave Baylor, do they have the tools necessary to be able to be successful?
Yeah, I think I used to work with a coach in professional rugby. He used to always say new was the big risky aspect, and he didn't mean that in a way that he was being traditional and kind of wanted to stay in his kind of, you know, traditional means. He loved new. He wanted us to progress, but his message to us was new was always risky. You know, whether it's a new training program that we want to introduce, there's going to be a period of adaptation to that, and the athletes are going to have to, like, we're going to have to adjust, and we're going to have to do that carefully. You know, we used to always say this as well, like somebody would have a new baby or they'd have a new partner, and the dynamic and lifestyle of, like, their lifestyle changes would adjust. That means that we need to accommodate for that in terms of what we do. When they have a new baby, their sleep patterns are going to change. And he was like, we always need to be cognizant of new, and we always want new, and we want to progress and evolve. We want to understand how do we surround that. And I think like that, big changes like that are new, right? And I think the way that we prepare people for that and how we also teach the athletes, I think, to have the tools to understand what new means and how it's going to change things for them and how to adapt and evolve for that is hugely important.
Yeah, I like to tell our staff that innovation is a mindset first. And, you know, you have to understand what are the consequences, both good and bad, when it comes to change. You know, the equation of the rate of learning can't exceed the rate of change. Like, we have to be very cognizant of allowing our staff and our student athletes time to learn the change before we implement new change. That being said, I think if you ask anyone of the people that are on staff at Baylor, you know, I don't mind pivoting, right? There's a time and point and place to recognize the way you're doing it is not the best way. And let's pivot, let's do something different. But you have to be very, I think you have to be very judicial about that. You know, have we communicated the right way? Have we given all the tools and resources necessary, and sometimes the directive, to implement a program before now we're saying it's failed and we need to change it? So those are some hard conversations sometimes, because I think certain people look at success and failure differently. And so sometimes you have to fail and you have to take a step back in order to see the progress in advanced learning systems and things that you're trying to put in place. You need more data to inform the decision, right? And sometimes it's hard to get to that data point where you feel like you're getting good information to make that change.
Yeah, well, change is probably the key word, right? And I think in that scenario that you're talking about, you guys are you're self-selecting, right? You're putting your hands up and saying, hey, we want to change. There's also been lots of change in the conference landscape over the last year. And I think the Big 12 has certainly been a hotspot for this. You know, how is the conference realignment and the change that we're seeing across the conferences, how is that impacting Baylor's strategy for recruitment, for retention, and even for your approach to on-field performance?
Yeah, it's been exciting. That's a word. I don't know if it's stopped. You know, I mean, you know, what is exciting is we're a national conference now. I mean, all the exposure that comes along with that, the opportunity for our athletes to be able to experience a lot of great new places, schools and competition, those people coming in, you know, BYU, University of Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, UCF, Cincinnati, I believe in somebody out, Utah, you know, it's like all these schools coming into the conference is just going to further strengthen, you know, who we are as a conference in general. You know, I think, but with that comes some challenges. We talk about the, in the difficulty lies the opportunity. You know, there's, you know, there are going to be more challenges with travel. How do we address those? How do we monitor that as a group? How do we wrap our minds around what is the a natural part of exposure to travel? And, you know, how do you set things up? What are the resources around that? How do you, how does your environment affect you when you go from a place like Utah to Central Florida? And how do you prepare for those? You know, I think there's some other things that you look at from the realignment piece and, you know, what's been really great, I've had the opportunity to be a member and actually current chair of our Big 12 Health and Wellbeing advisory group. And, you know, we're having conversations today as a group looking at the health and wellbeing of our student athletes. First of all, it's, you know, what's our starting point, right? Maya Angelou has a quote that, you know, if you don't know where you've come from, you don't know where you're going. And so this exercise that we're embarking on right now is, you know, what are the standards of practice? What are the best practices that are out there? Where is everybody aligned on that? We should be doing everything, but to what degree? Let's start the conversation with where we are today. And then use that to inform what we're going to do tomorrow. And so, you know, working with folks like Mark Cogley and others that are helping to lead this, we're doing the work right now to at least build that foundation. And so I think a lot of the things that we do moving forward are going to come from groups like that and shared information sessions like this.
Yeah, that concept of bringing together like all the greatest minds, like you mentioned a couple of people like Mark Coberly, who like you have been in the industry for so long, and I think has also been one of the people that I think in this industry has always continuously like looked for change and looked for improvement. I think it's probably never more important than ever than that. Organizations do look to share knowledge and try and, you know, adapt and adjust to some of the changes that we're seeing in the market and the ecosystem to continue to improve. So, you know, I think as you guys know, to the extent that we can play a role in that, I think it's something that we're always excited to do as well, because I think the changing dynamic of what it is that you guys, as who are at the coalface of this, have to deal with every day, that it results in, I think, potentially a shift in terms of the types of technology, the use cases of the technology that we need to support, the role that we need to play sometimes as partners as well within that. I mean, like you talked about, there is probably more change in like staff and more turnover in staff. We're seeing that across the board, across our NCAA clients. And it means that our support model needs to change, because we really do need to be partners. We need to be in it. We need to be ready to onboard new staff and help. We need to understand your environment better than we ever did before, because we need to make sure that we can help onboard those new staff members in periods of time when you guys don't have the time to focus on that, because you're in the thick of it trying to do what you need to do with athletes every day. From that perspective, would love to know, like, can you talk about the relationship that we've had and the role that Kitman Labs has played in supporting your vision? Because, you know, there's a lot to it. And I think, you know, we've talked about a small percentage of the work that you're doing today at a very high level, from a very, very high level perspective. But like, what can you talk about the role that we've played and what that means to you guys?
Well, you know, it is a relationship. It's a partnership. And I think that suggests, you know, two people, two groups that are working to find the unique solutions for each other. And I think it is both directions. And I appreciate the partnership there of, as we work through some of our challenges, you know, that presents things that help the overall system, the intelligence platform, improve and the different resources we're providing. Never before has there been an emphasis on data-informed decisions. And there's a lot of weight behind that statement. Like, you know, you can't just say, well, we're going to use data to inform our decision. It's great. But how are you storing the data? First of all, what data are you collecting? You know, so the questions I ask my staff are, you know, what's the question we're answering with this data? You know, we don't just need to collect data to collect data, but there may be also opportunities to help inform other decision making that we're not aware of. So we have to be a little bit more projecting what those concerns are. But, you know, Stephen, what we've seen in being able to develop a relationship with Kitman Labs is a partner that's willing to evolve with us. I think you're the first one to admit that you don't have all the solutions and the answers right now. But being able to problem solve and work through what's going to be unique for us versus other institutions, other clients, I think that's where a lot of the appreciation has been. Of just being authentic in that way, being a group that wants to be an industry leader and support other industry leaders, there's something, I think, something appealing to that as well.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said that, because I think we certainly don't have all the answers and we'll never purport to. And I think part of the challenge in even suggesting that anybody has is that this industry is changing so quickly. And some of the things that we've already talked about today means that we are facing new and evolving challenges every month. And I think that means that if we don't have the mindset that we want to lean into that together, then we're already not fit to be here, right? And I think that's why we appreciate a relationship and a partnership like this one, because there's an inherent understanding on both sides that we are going to face new problems next month than we face this month. And we both want to solve those and both have an appetite to solve those together. And if we do this right, we will always be in the same position that we're in today, which is we will not have a solution to all of the problems, but we will have a mindset and an attitude and approach that helps us to tackle the next most important ones and keep working from there.
Yeah. What do they say? Yesterday's solutions are tomorrow's problems. But, you know, I think we're going to continue to work through this. You know, where I feel compelled is, you know, I think the desire is to have people that are willing to work through some of these challenges together, because at the end of the day, our job, our primary focus still has to remain in the care for our student athletes, how we're doing that. I do feel like we have the opportunity between other ways of leveraging artificial intelligence and machine learning and data review to be able to move quicker to a solution, maybe quicker to an answer to a problem. We have an issue with an increase in injury for a certain sport, a certain condition, a certain position. Let's investigate it. What are the issues there? You know, I had a conversation. We were talking before about, you know, what my days look like. And a lot of times right now it's revolved around a little league ball field. But I was talking with one of our other parents. It's a radiologist. And every industry is being touched by, in some way, with machine learning and using data to inform decisions in a way that we've never experienced before. They are, even in radiology, looking at things that they weren't able to pick up before because they were focused on the structure that was injured, not all the structures around it that may be indicating a bigger predisposition to something else. And so, being able to partner with a group that can continue to evolve in the industry around ideas like that, I think is going to be important.
Yeah, and I know that's an area that you're passionate about, and the concept of, I don't know if I want to use the word research, but maybe even applied research, and like having that ability for an organization like us, and even like, you know, potentially like the academic center at an organization or institution like Baylor, and being able to triangulate those pieces to keep evolving and asking questions is something that you're passionate about. Given that mindset, given the amount of change that you've been through and over the last number of years at Baylor, what have you, like, from a technology and an organization perspective, what have you found that's worked really well through that change? And what are things like the challenges that you face and had to either realize that doesn't work, or challenges that you face that you've had to overcome through that?
Sometimes the biggest challenges are us, right? I mean, trying to work through the human side of buy-in to make change, to utilize something new, to trust information that you're receiving. That's sometimes the hardest obstacle in this whole series of discussions and challenges. You know, we are fortunate at a place like Baylor where we can, Mack Roads supports a lot of things that we do, a lot of different technology we use, and a lot of that's integrated within Kippen Labs. Where I feel like the challenges exist is being able to show and explain the justification for what you're doing, being able to get that buy-in from your coaching staff, from your athlete trainer, from your athletics performance coach, dietitians, everybody that's touching our athletes. And even now we're some things that we've talked about involves, academic services. And how does that interplay into the athlete's day-to-day? How does it affect their stressors that are all ultimately affecting or impacting their performance? And I think those are confounders that we have to continue to explore, but we have to be willing to do that. We have to be willing to acknowledge that, maybe we're not the content expert that we thought we were in this certain area, and we need to reach out to campus where maybe there's a partnership that we can develop within a group on campus that may help you explore that in a more proficient way. So as much as anything, the technology challenges start with the people behind the technology. And so you can't forget that. You can't forget that you're working with people that are informed from past experiences, and how do you work through that? And so I think those are things that you have to be mindful of when you're embarking on the idea of increasing innovation, increasing technology use. It does start with the people that are putting in the data, that are utilizing that technology, and are you on the same page?
Yeah, it's a fascinating set of challenges. And again, I'm thinking back to my time working in professional sport. I remember many of the issues that we faced with change or transformation or things like that were exactly what you mentioned, were people. We would have new coaches, new staff join who would bring new ideas. And sometimes those new ideas were great. Sometimes those new ideas were disruptive to, let's say, things that we felt were progressing and advancing really well. And it became a real challenge to kind of meld those mindsets together, it felt sometimes somebody would come in with an idea that was already tried and proven to be unsuccessful. And then it became a challenge to provide that kind of ladder of inference or evidence or information to those people. So one of the projects that we embarked on then was to document everything, to document our approach, document our programs, to document our mindset, to document our in-house research that we were performing as well. So when we were trying different training interventions, we would clearly outline a goal, we would trial it, we would look at the results and evidence, and then we would document this into essentially a handbook or a manual that we were developing internally. So then as new people would come in, we would then be able to say, okay, we've tried that, here's the evidence, is there something that we would do that would be different, or should we progress it forward? And that became a way for us to get everybody aligned and on the same page. And it certainly helped us to, I think, have a control dynamic to innovation and having a real mechanism to test and evolve and advance things. We've talked about a lot about, I think, what you're doing as an individual university, but as a leader within the Big 12 Conference, what do you think the role of the conference is when it comes to better supporting students and enhancing player health and safety?
Well, yeah, I think that could fill up another full segment or full episode about the role of the conference, the role of the National Association, your governing bodies. I feel like it starts with being the champion for the people that are doing the work. And I say that by, you need somebody that can help stand in the gap to support the institutional advancement of what we're doing. And specifically, it's not as much even developing, but it's encouraging and implementing initiatives that support that current way of doing things. And so, I don't think we're asking for the Big 12 Conference, for example, to all of a sudden step out into the unknown and become, a medical governing body. That's not the intent. I think the intent is to leverage the resources, the collective group, to be able to show not only student athletes or prospective student athletes, but even the coaches and the staff that are coming to work and that are working in our institutions, that this is a priority for us. Mm-hmm. This is something that makes a difference, not only in the lives of our student athletes, but the lives of everybody else around them. And so how can we support that? So I think that's where I see this conference and other conferences moving. I think there's the appreciation for the work that other big organizations like the NATA and AMSSM and others that are working together to provide solutions from the medical side. And then, CSCCA and the NSCA and other groups, CPSDA, what other alphabet did I miss? But there are all these other groups that are right around the periphery of what's happening within our conferences that are providing information and support to how we do things. And I think we have to find a way to continue to work together to provide those solutions. So long answer to your question there, Stephen, but I'm excited about where this is going for us. Realignment has opened up some new opportunities to partner with people.
Yeah, I think, this is what I've heard. I think start to finish in this discussion has been the concept of collaboration and sharing and learning and progressing and advancing is key, right? And I think the Big 12 or any conference has a role to play in terms of maybe, like you say, it's not governing, but maybe it is like helping to elevate the standards. Maybe it is like, bringing people together and helping to set best practices and help people to face and overcome some of the biggest challenges that they're facing today. And to do that as a collective instead of to try and everybody trying 10 different things that, not figuring out what's working, being able to come and try those together and to be able to learn from each other and accelerate learning across a conference is gotta be beneficial.
Right. Yeah, I think moving forward, the people that are going to thrive in this industry are going to be those that have people partnering with them to help elevate the experience for the student athlete as it relates to when they're entering and leaving those programs, because it can be a year, it can be 5 years. I think there's a lot of different changes that are happening, but ultimately we have to find a way to provide an elite student athlete experience for those students that are at Baylor at the time that they're at Baylor. And I think that's our challenge.
Yeah, well, if there's any organization that I would put my money on to be able to solve those challenges, I think it's you guys. I think this conversation has been fascinating for me. So regardless of whether we ever publish this and get this out online, I've really enjoyed it. I think it's been great, and the more I continue to learn about Baylor and what you guys are doing and the approach that you're taking, the philosophy that you have, continually inspired and in awe of what you're doing there and the leadership role that you're particularly playing in terms of driving that organization forward. So Kenny, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Now, Stephen, again, as I said earlier, I appreciate this opportunity. I think it's going to be important that we, Baylor, continue to partner with organizations like Kitman Labs. But as I said earlier, I think the secret to success is going to be, it starts with how we deliver care. It's going to be how we collaborate with other people, not just internally in our department, but externally. And then ultimately how we communicate. And I think there are solutions that, even when you look at it specifically with Kitman Labs, there's solutions even within the platform for all three of those areas: care, collaboration, and communication. And that speaks very well to where we are as an institution. And I appreciate the support that you guys bring us.
Yeah, not at all. Well, listen, I think what we'd love to do is we'd love to have you back here at some point in the future as well and have you on this and talk about some of the more the growth and I think advancements that you've made and talk about some of the new challenges that you're facing as well. And we hope that when that happens, we'll have a Baylor jersey in the background here so we don't have to hurt your eyes with the...
I need to work on that. I'm okay with the other ones because I'm sure there's a little bit different appreciation, but we got to do something about getting some green and gold up there. So
sounds great. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much. I think it's great to be back on the Game Changer podcast. And I think nobody better than to kick off season 5 with than probably one of the biggest game changers in the NCAA space today. Kenny Boyd, thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate the time.